It's good to be with you tonight here. And I don't know whether it was a vote of confidence, but my son chose to go with his father tonight to Donegal Avenue, to where Colin was preaching tonight. So, although maybe I was just as glad. Anyhow, it's good to be with you and to bring a word of testimony. Maybe you could turn in the scriptures tonight just to Psalm 66, please. And I think I'll read the whole psalm. It's a lovely psalm and it's really touched my heart as I was reading it recently. So reading the Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honour of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. And we know the Lord bless this reading from his word. Now, if you're expecting some very exciting testimony tonight, I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you. I'm a very ordinary person from a very ordinary background, and thankfully the Lord saved me early in life. I was born into a farming home in Fermanagh. I was the youngest of three children. I think we were a fairly respectable family in the neighbourhood, and we were Church of Ireland. And so from earliest days I was sent along to Sunday school. We were taught to be honest and mannerly, and we had a good upbringing. We had a very happy home, and I thank the Lord for that. But sadly, really, I didn't hear the gospel at my earliest years. In the Sunday school at the Church of Ireland, one sad thing that always stuck with me was that in Sunday school we were doing about the feeding of the 5,000, and instead of telling us about the wonder of God's provision, our Sunday school teacher undermined God's word by saying, well, you know, when the wee boy brought his lunch out, all the other people felt guilty and they would have brought out what they had with them. And so she was undermining God's word. But thankfully it didn't stay like that, because in 1969 there was a gospel mission in the local Orange Hall beside where I lived. The Reverend Ivan Foster had come to Fermanagh at that time, and he had this gospel mission. And there was a great move of God in those years. And at that mission, my mother, who had been saved in her teenage years, came back to the Lord. She had been saved in the Methodist Church, but hadn't grown really in grace. But now, under the preaching of the word again, she was restored and began to grow in grace. And we, most of the family, began to attend then this Belaw Free Presbyterian Church. There, it wasn't long till I learned that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I learned that the wages of sin is death, and that meant spiritual death forever in hell after. I learned too that Christ died for the ungodly, and that included me. And also I learned that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in July 1970, it was actually my 10th birthday, so it's not hard to work out my age, after the gospel service, I waited behind, and there the Reverend Foster had been preaching, but it was Miss Edna Weir, who has since gone to be with the Lord, who counselled me and showed me how I could be saved and how I could be sure that I was born again. At that time, while the Lord was moving and there were many souls saved, every Sunday, the little hall in Lisbelaw, it had once been a shop, and I remember we used to be so excited as children because the place was bunged to the doors on a Sunday night, and we maybe were sitting on the stairs leading down to a basement, and every Sunday night there were souls were getting saved, and those souls went on, and indeed the Lord was blessing. But whilst the Lord was blessing, it wasn't very popular in Fermanagh to be a Free Presbyterian at that time. And during my school years, there were very few Christians that I could have fellowship with. But one of the influences in my life was my grandmother. My grandmother had been saved, I'm not sure when, but she was saved all of my life. And even before I could save myself when I was 8, she had given me my first Bible. And she was always very faithful at lending me books and encouraging me. My grandfather had died when I was a baby, and my grandmother, Scott, was the one she had sort of fastened onto me and paid special attention maybe to me. Maybe I was her pet in a way. But she had a great influence upon me. When I was about 14, the Lord spoke to me. I didn't know about looking for verses or anything, but just as I was reading the scriptures before going to bed at night, the words of Isaiah 42 and verse 6 seemed to just step out of the Bible and speak to me, where the Lord said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And I believe that that was God speaking to me, that he had a work that he wanted me to do. At the time, I didn't know what way it would be. I was only 14 years old. But, you know, right through my teenage years, I would have helped in the children's meetings. Edna Weir was great at getting youngsters involved, and she would have encouraged you to have taught the memory verse or done the quiz. And that was a great help to me growing up and strengthening me in the things of God. In 1976, my grandmother on my father's side passed on to be with the Lord in glory. And that was both a happy and a sad time. I deeply felt her death. I couldn't understand. It was my first experience of a family bereavement. And I couldn't understand the Fermanagh Wake, where people came and they were laughing and they were joking and they were reminiscing. And all I could feel was the most profound grief that my grandmother had died. But at my grandmother's deathbed, my father got saved. When Granny died, one of his sisters turned to him and said, Kenneth, will you be with your mother in heaven? And he said, I will. And he got saved. So it was a time of blessing. And thankfully, my father went on to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God as well. Now, my career. In 1979, I finished school. I enjoyed school, I have to be honest. And I went to Belfast and started my nursing training. And there was a lot more fellowship. There were a lot more Christians working in the Ulster Hospital in Dundonald. And there was opportunities to witness for the Lord and to invite girls along to the gospel meeting that I would have attended in Belfast. In 1982, then, I went on to Edinburgh to do my midwifery training. And that was a new experience because there were no Free Presbyterian churches of the Ulster variety in Edinburgh. And so I had to really start to think about what I really believed. And at that time, the Reverend Gordon Cook was our minister, And he sent me some literature on the doctrines of grace and the articles of faith of our church and so forth. And I came to understand that more deeply. And when I was looking for a church, I was looking for a church that held to the Reformed position. And indeed, I found one and we had good fellowship there. But always I was aware that God had spoken to me and that he had called me. And for me, part of that would have to be training in the Bible College. So in 1984, I came to the Whitfield College of the Bible. Now, I was a bit in awe of these Bible students. They all look so nicely turned out and they look as if butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. But you know, when you go to Bible College, you realise that they're no different to anybody else. There's none of them quite perfect, but they are God's people and they're there training. And there's so much you learn, as well as the lessons and the studies. You learn a lot about life. I suppose right through our lives, we're always learning new things. And of course, we made lasting friendships, and perhaps the most important of those was my friendship with Colin. Colin was the head boy and I was the head girl in my first year at college. And we started going out probably into the second term at college. And that went on to be, obviously, we got engaged and we got married. But my last year at college, Colin was asked to go out to Australia. And as nothing else had opened at that time, he felt that that was the Lord's will, that he should go out for that year in Australia. And what an experience it was for him. Wasn't the most pleasant when you're engaged and you're so many miles apart and there was no email then, there was no mobile phones. It was a difficult time, but he went out in May 86, and I was asked about that time. I was still at college, finishing my year, he was a year in before me, that asked about going down to Cork to help in Cork, to help Pat Mills, because Rhonda Armstrong was getting married and Pat would be on her own. But even before I was asked, the Lord had really spoken to me while I was praying about the need in Cork. And so I believed it was the Lord's will. Colin and I were praying about Roman Catholic countries. We were praying about Italy. We were praying about other places, Spain. And we were praying about the Republic of Ireland. And just the way the Lord led and the doors opened, we believed that this was the Lord's will. And so we applied that when we were married, that that was the place we would work. We were married. Colin came home in May of 87, and 8 weeks later we were married and we went to Cork as a couple in September 1987. Altogether, I spent 23 years in Cork, and it still is a big influence on my life. When we went to Cork, Ireland was so much poorer than it became. Very few mothers were working maybe at that time. And there wasn't the prosperity. Things were just very, very poor. And big changes in the years that we were there. Now, we worked together very much, Colin and I, as a team. Before Ruth came along, we would have done door-to-door work together. We weren't long until we had a Sunday meeting going. And then we had Sunday school. Then we started to reach out with children's open airs in the estate where we lived and in other estates round about us. Those could be quite rough at times because you touch the children and you seek to reach the children and the parents don't like it one bit. But through that work and just keeping on at it, and especially when your children arrive, they're always a great help in reaching others as well. And eventually we went on to have children's meetings on a weekly basis in our home. And so a lot of work was done. A lot of seed was sown. In ways, maybe there wasn't much fruit. It's one of those cliches, time alone will reveal what was done. But one family particularly were reached, and that was the O'Donovan family. Donal was going down to get his paper one Sunday morning and passing our door, and there was a board out with a scripture text, "Come and hear the words of the Lord." And he came in the following Sunday. And from then on, he came Sunday by Sunday. Colin announced the prayer meeting for the Tuesday night. Donal was the only one apart from ourselves who turned up. and it turned out to be a gospel meeting as Colin explained the way of salvation to Donal. Donal was a devout Catholic, but he had been searching for many years. Even at school, he had got into trouble at one of the schools run by the Christian Brothers because he had asked, "But what does the Bible say?" And that is not what you ask in a Roman Catholic school. And he had been searching. He had went to the Gospel Hall on occasion. He had went to the Baptist Church. But he came in and he was just really ripe for the picking. He had been studying God's Word and he was a great encouragement to us. Later on, his wife and his family would be saved. And they remained the mainstay of the work in Cork in the years that we were there. The numbers tended to wax and wane. It never grew to be a great big church by any means. But what we found was that we would have had people who were in Cork for a year or two. They would have come, or maybe even a shorter period of time, and they came along to the meetings while they were there. But it was very difficult to get Roman Catholics in. So most of the work would have been done through literature work, going into homes and so forth. Ruth had been born in 1988. And then when it seemed unlikely that we were to have any more children, Andrew came along in 2002, and what a blessing he was. The Lord was leading us on. I firmly felt that our time in Cork was coming to an end. We were always open. We never had said we would be there for the rest of our lives. We were always open that God could move us on. And then Colin also came to believe that God was moving us on. And he became keen to work in more an itinerant way, that he wouldn't be tied to always being in Cork on the Sunday, but that he'd have more, be able to move around and reach different areas. So in June 2009, still under the auspices of our mission board, we moved to Five Mile Town. We belong to Enniskillen Church, so we have a wee bit of a journey there. But that was my home congregation, and we are there in Five Mile Town. And we use that as a base. Colin has his little camper van. In the summer months, he heads off, and I don't see him for 3 or 4 days till he comes back. He goes to places like Knock, he goes to Dublin, wherever he goes working in with spreading the gospel. So, of course, that has meant a change for me as well. I'm involved in the Sunday school in Enniskillen. We have a lot of children's meetings from Enniskillen Church. I help out in one of those. And I still have people who do correspondence course with me from way back when we were down in Cork. There's one lady in Wales particularly, and she has been doing Bible studies with me now in correspondence fashion for probably over 10 years. And she's a very devout Catholic lady, but we trust that we will see her won for the Lord. Now, I couldn't give my testimony and not mention some of the trials that have come. You know, all of us are individuals, and all of us will experience different trials in our life. For me, some of the trials that have come, well, even when Ruth was born, she was very ill. But then in 2002, the year that Andrew was born, in fact, early in the year, he was born at the end of the year, my niece Melanie was killed just 9 days before she was due to be married. And that brought real tragedy into our family. Her brother Stephen now, he also has had a serious back injury and is permanently disabled. And then his second child, Jensen, was born there in December of last year, and Jensen has a serious liver complaint. In fact, he was flown by air ambulance for the third time to Birmingham just there on Saturday night and is awaiting further tests. Jensen's liver condition, it's a life-threatening condition, and really nobody knows what the future holds for him. Beautiful little child. In April 2012, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I must say that it wasn't as bad as maybe you think what you would do if this comes to your door. And when it comes to your door, you find that the Lord's grace is sufficient. And sometimes in the dark times, those are the times when you're most aware of the Lord's presence. He draws especially close. Isaiah 25:4 says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. I had surgery, I had radiotherapy, and it would seem that my cancer has been treated. Nobody ever likes to say it's gone. My sister was diagnosed with cancer in June of this year, the same breast cancer as myself, and has just finished her radiotherapy following surgery. But, you know, how we deal with these things, we're reminded of Job. Job suffered more than any of us will ever suffer. And he sat for 7 days in complete silence because his grief was so great. There's nothing wrong with being grief-stricken. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears. But then Job could also say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If the Lord Jesus has saved us, he keeps us. And we may go through some of the most severe trials, but the Lord is there. In Isaiah also it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. So whatever the Lord brings to pass, he is with us. One of the verses that when I was going through my treatment that really came home to me afresh was Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the hard things, we have to learn to give thanks for them. There is a reason, there is a purpose. For the unsaved looking on, when we go through trials, that is a particular time that maybe we can shine for the Lord and we can show that God's grace makes the difference. As I look back over my life, I can see how God's hand has been so much upon my life. And looking forward, I can trust him. Again, with Job, I say, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. It's nothing to do with Olive Maxwell. It's all to do with Christ. And I think of that wonderful hymn that Robert Murray McShane wrote. And he just put the scriptures into words when he said, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. It's a wonderful hymn, and it's so scriptural. And as we read the scriptures, we see that all things work together for good. And if you're not saved, one day you will stand before the judgment throne of God. For me, I am hidden in the Saviour's hand. He has done the work for me. It's not what I have done. It is all what Christ has done for me. But if you're not saved, then you don't have that assurance that Christ has covered your sin. And I would encourage any that are not saved to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, for he is a wonderful Saviour. He is a wonderful friend, and his will is good and perfect. Thank you.